Well, I have to put a plug in this morning for Sunday school. I really enjoy our discussions on Sunday mornings for Sunday school. We had I really enjoyed class this morning. You know, it's great when we can come and have discussion because so many of you have great insight and think of things that I never think of, and hopefully once in a while I think of something that you haven't thought of, but when we all start to get together and start discussing things, it's really interesting and insightful, and you have such great ideas, and people have thoughts that you know you wouldn't have on your own, and it's a great time of discussion. So if you like a good Bible study, Bible discussion, I would really encourage you to do it. And I know you think, well, it's early, it's 9 o'clock, you know, church doesn't start till 10. What time do you get up and go? I mean, I find for most people who say, you know, 9 is early, to get up and be here by 9, you probably can sleep an hour and a half longer than you do most days of the week to get up and go to work. So you're still sleeping in. That's, you know, that's the way I look at it. Anyways, if you have your Bibles, take them out and turn me to John 14, 16. Yes. Yeah. Sure. Thank you. Well, we're glad to see that you're doing well. Nice to see somebody have a back procedure and have it work and be doing good. So, and you're back to work now, right? So there's a downside to it. So there's a pluses and minuses to everything, isn't there? Yeah. 8 more hours with you. Lucky girl. I don't know. Have you ever thought about that? Could you work with your spouse? Is it? I'm glad to hear that. I'm not so sure that we could work together if we were together all the time. That's great. It's good that you can do that. I don't know if we, I just have to say yes, dear, more than what I already do. I say yes because you have better ideas than I do, which I've obviously demonstrated here this morning, right? That's, yeah, so anyways. You know, I will say, and you mentioning it, I was just thinking as we were worshiping, as I've taught these last weeks on the Holy Spirit, I am really feeling an increased presence of the Holy Spirit in my own life. So, you know, last week I taught about the person. And I kind of call it, you know, the Holy Spirit, let's get personal, that Holy Spirit is a person. And Cassidy has been listening to these because I guess they are planning teaching on the Holy Spirit, and she's been wanting to hear what I've been teaching to get ideas for the class that they're going to teach. And I said, you know, maybe it wasn't as exciting as the week before going into the person, the personal traits of the Holy Spirit. I said, but I want us to understand and see Holy Spirit as a person, not just some ethereal vapor out there kind of thing, you know, which I think we sometimes kind of get in the mindset of when we talk about spirit, but that he is a person. And so she had told me yesterday that she had just finished listening to it. She goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought it was good. It had some good points and stuff. So, but I certainly have been feeling much more awareness of the presence of Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping this works out. I don't know how it's going to go. If you read the daily devotions I do here a week and a half, 2 weeks or so ago, I posted something from a friend of ours in San Diego from a real supernatural healing that she's received not only in her body but in her spirit and her emotions and everything, things that she'd been dealing with and how God really showed up. I mean, you know, reading her testimony is like reading the Bible, where God supernaturally shows up and bam, I mean, healed. She was attending services at a church that a friend of ours from San Diego, her and her husband, pastor. And, you know, I'm really excited about that. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's an encounter with Holy Spirit doing that. And so I had asked the council about an opportunity to go out to their church for 4 or 5 days and just see what's going on, hopefully learn some of that and experience some of that and bring it back here. But in the meantime, in communicating with Barb, they're going to be in Columbus this February. Her and her husband seeing a relative who is aged and they want to see again. And so I don't know if I'm kind of thinking it's be like February 23rd. I think it's a Sunday while they're here. Maybe we can I can get them to come up here and share a little bit about what they've been experiencing. But it's just a work of Holy Spirit is what it is. And so I'm excited about that. Jen? Took it.
It was super cool.
Well, I'll tell you, my wife always tells me she loves having Josh in Cross Trainers. She said he's just a lot of fun. He's a real blessing to have there. So he's a good for him. I can't stress enough how important it is to have your kids in church. I mean, I just can't. I believe if you look at kids that grow up in church, being involved, being active, you know, participating, doing even the fun little plays and skits and coming up here on stage and doing a part and all that, that gives them, and we love it and we reinforce that, and that makes them want to do it. Do you know how many people they get to adulthood and they are petrified of any kind of social situation, they can't function because they've never had any experience? I mean, it's not that kids raised in church are more talented or anything, but they know they're comfortable. They're comfortable with themselves. They're comfortable with other people. They're comfortable doing things, being helpful, being involved, because that's what they've known. I mean, it makes such a difference, and obviously. The word of God that they receive and the teaching that they receive, but that can't be. If you do that, you have to make sure that you go home and you're living the same life that you proclaim to be at church, okay? Because that can be a real problem. If you go be one person in church and go home and be somebody else, that's not good for those kids. But you raise them in church and you're consistent about it, and the biggest thing you'll find is if you live that life that's worthy of respect, they will respect you, and they'll listen to you because they respect you. And they just become much more complete adults when they're raised in church and put in those situations that other people, kids never get exposed to. They get exposed to it, and they're comfortable in it, and they're going to do a lot better as adults. I just think it's really, really important. And I certainly see that in you guys as kids, and you're doing a great job. And when I have my wife tell me how much she enjoys having Josh, I mean, we see it in our kids. Church was never. I hear about people who I was forced to go to church. Our kids never looked at it that way, and I don't get the sense that your kids look at it that way. It's like, you know, to them, getting to wake up. to them, it's hard. It's the hardest part for me too. But our kids, church, like a church work day was like, that was like, oh, yay, fun, you know, that was, because it was normal, and it was, you know, so I don't know, it certainly, they'll pick up on your attitude about things. If you have a negative attitude about it, they're going to have a negative attitude about it, so.
Josh has such a spirit of joy, like, and you can tell all of his friends, the teachers, they just all love him, and
Right. Right.
You just don't realize it's just such a sweet, joyful spirit, and they just can already.
God can use. God can use, and He does use kids, and He uses them to impact adults. I mean, absolutely, He can shine. God can shine through anyone, and if they have a good spirit and attitude about them, God will use them to bless adults as well. I mean, when Cassidy was little, she had this thing with prayer, man. We'd have the pastor of the church when we first moved here, the pastor's wife of the church that we were attending, she would come and ask Cassidy to pray for certain things. This is the pastor's wife. Like, oh, Cassidy, can she pray for? Because Cassidy just, I don't know, just that was her thing, you know. And yeah, we look back on that and kind of marvel about it. But she saw answers to prayer that was how God was using her. But yeah, God can use kids. It's not just adults. In fact, you know, it'd be nice if we had opportunities to create more opportunities for kids to be used. So, anyways, let's talk more about the Holy Spirit, shall we? If you have your Bibles, John 14, 16, it's the verse that we've been using as kind of our foundational verse since we've got into teaching on Holy Spirit. And John 14, 16 says this, And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, Who is the Holy Spirit, Part 4. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. I pray, Lord, for Your Word to be living and active in us, just as it says that it is, and God, that we would be open to hear it and receive it. Give us more understanding about Holy Spirit, His role in our life, how He guides us, leads us, counsels us, teaches us, and empowers us, Lord, that we might be more fruitful to live for You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I pointed out, the Holy Spirit, He is with us forever. He is God's Spirit come. And we know that when it says the Counselor is going to be with us forever, we know from John 14, 26 that the Counselor is the Holy Spirit. And as I've been saying all along, Holy Spirit is fully God. He is God in a different role, and that role is as the power and the doer of the Godhead. He is a person. He's not junior God. He's not second-class citizen. He's not little g. He is God, and we need to think of Him as such. In fact, He is the God that is with us now, just as Jesus was God with us, Emmanuel. Now He is seated at the right hand of God. We know that Jesus is, and Holy Spirit is the one who is with us. He is the one that we come into contact with. When you come into contact with God, when you experience God, when you sense God, when there's an answer to your prayer, whatever, who you're coming into contact with is Holy Spirit. And so it's important for us to understand that so that we can fully maximize our relationship with Him. The bottom line is that when we want to really get into a relationship with God, it has to be through the person of Holy Spirit. We talk about having a relationship with Jesus. We talk about having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. All that can only happen as much as we, to the extent that we understand the person of Holy Spirit and have a relationship with Holy Spirit. Because He is the one that, again, that is here and that we are in contact with. We talked very quickly. I'm going to highlight last week the Holy Spirit as a person. We talked about Him having emotions. Talked about the Holy Spirit has feelings. And there was a bunch of verses I gave for that. We talked about other attributes of the Holy Spirit of having making decisions, reasoning, having a thought process, all these kinds of things. The fact that He loves. The fact then that things, how we can relate to Him, we can embrace Him certainly, but we can also resist Him, we can quench Him, and we can even speak blasphemously against Him, which the Bible tells us is an unpardonable sin. So all these different things are just like a person, just like a human being, in that he has all of these personal traits and characteristics. So those are the personal attributes of the Holy Spirit. This week I want to get into the role of Holy Spirit. And we're going to go back to pretty much to where we started and looking at the role of Holy Spirit in our lives. John 14, 26, as I already referenced, says, But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Really, we could spend probably several weeks just on Holy Spirit as Counselor. But we're told here that the Holy Spirit is our Counselor. And I say that when you talk about, oh, I'm going to go, people will say, well, I'm receiving counseling, or I'm going to go talk to a counselor. Okay, those are all to me, Counselor little C. Okay? Holy Spirit is Counselor big C. He is not a counselor. He is the counselor. And so whenever I try to give somebody counsel, okay, what I am trying to do is give them the counsel of Holy Spirit. Not my counsel, but counsel of Holy Spirit. That's what, to me, teaching Scripture is. It's what Bible study is. It's what I'm doing up here this morning, is we are trying to receive the counsel of Holy Spirit. He is the counselor. No Christian counseling should ever take place that isn't understood to be the counsel of Holy Spirit. You know, you just have your little bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, maybe we should have one about what would Holy Spirit do? What counsel would Holy Spirit give? That's the counsel that we need to give. He is the counselor. And it says that he does this because he teaches us all things and reminds us of everything that Jesus has said to us. Well, this John 14, 26, if you have a red letter Bible, it's in red. This is Jesus speaking. So he says, the Holy Spirit is your counselor, and the way he's going to counsel you is he's going to teach you, all right? He's going to teach you all things. He's going to give you understanding and insight into this, into the Word of God, and he's going to remind you of all the things that I said, the things that I taught, the things that I counseled you in while I was here. So whenever we need to have counsel, we should be able to receive it and get understanding of it, because Holy Spirit will give us insight and understanding into the Word of God and everything that Jesus taught us when he was on earth. So that is the counsel that we need. He is that still small voice that speaks to us when we're in situations wondering, you know, what do I need to do here? Or, you know, we're about to do something and we hear this voice, you know, don't do that, you know. That's Holy Spirit. He is counseling us if we will listen. If we will listen. And I'm sure there's been a time or two here already this morning where I didn't listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The key is that he will... One of the things that's important to be able to hear Holy Spirit when he wants to speak to us is that we believe that he does speak to us. If I don't believe Holy Spirit is going to speak to me in that still small voice, he's not going to give me counsel, he's not going to remind me of something that the Bible says or remind me of something that Jesus has taught, if I don't believe that, then I won't notice it when he does it. And that is one of the big reasons I'm just continuing to spend time on Holy Spirit, is because I want you to have confidence. I want you to expect, to anticipate that Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, so that when he does, we don't just kind of ignore it or miss it or attribute it to our own thought process. I would say that not only should we believe that he will, we should expect it. It is his job. When you go to work, you have a job, right? And people expect you to do your job. We should expect Holy Spirit to do his job. It shouldn't be something that's unexpected. It should be exactly what we expect him to do. So it shouldn't be a surprise if we feel like Holy Spirit is trying to say something to us. It's his job. He is the counselor. It is what he does. So, Holy Spirit is the one who answers us when we're told, like in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When we ask for wisdom, it says we should expect that we're going to get it. All right? But who is it that's going to bring that wisdom? Who is it that counsels us? It's Holy Spirit. So we should feel perfectly comfortable in asking for wisdom. And when we do, not only should we say, gee, if he gives me wisdom, that'll be great. No, we should expect that he's going to answer us. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. And then it goes on and talks about how, you know, we need to believe that he's going to answer us and all. Maybe I should actually, so I don't, Maybe I should actually read that. That might be worthwhile looking at. Yes.
The Jews, the only time the Jews knew of the Spirit of God coming was on the prophets. And what comfort that must have gave them to know now they're going to have it.
Right.
You know, that was the only time they knew that the Spirit came.
When he would speak through the prophet. But when the prophet did speak, they took it with great authority. And great, yes, and that's and but and now we have that available to every one of us personally, and so when we again we should expect that, and this is what I wanted to get to in James 1:5, as I read you, if anyone of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given, all right, to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because anyone who doubts is like a wave of the sea and is tossed. Tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord, because they're double-minded, it goes on to say. So it says we must believe and not doubt. Not only just, you know, expect it and be confident, we should believe that he is absolutely going to, and not doubt in any way, because we're double-minded. The person, if we have doubt, it says we should not believe that we'll receive anything. So the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. He wants to give us counsel. He wants to give us wisdom. And when we believe, when we ask, we should believe that he's going to give it to us. So we're going to get into several other jobs as the Holy Spirit that does, and kind of under the heading of counselor. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 9 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, and I think close with this passage of Scripture in my first message concerning Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14. How is he able to counsel us? Well, this gives us some insight. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So, our eyes, our ears, our minds cannot understand or conceive what God has prepared for us. But there is someone who can, and that is Holy Spirit, right? But God has revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. So I can't figure it out on my own, but yet I can, even while it's unknown, I can know it, because Holy Spirit has been revealed to him, and he'll reveal it to me. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does what? He will reveal it to us. Even though our natural senses, folks, we live in a world that's ruled by our natural senses, amen? Our five senses tell us what's going on in the world around us. And yet, it starts off in verse 9 by saying, your natural senses cannot perceive or understand what God is doing. But the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, okay? Because he knows the deep things of God. Verse 12, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The reason we've received the Spirit of God is because God wants us to understand what it is he's doing. Isn't that what it says? But we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. God wants us to understand. God wants us to know. And because we can't know it by our senses, he gives us Holy Spirit. I used to hear, when I worked with youth and college age people, it would always be, they'd say, you know, I would do what God wants me to do. I'd love to do what God wants me to do if I could just know his will. Well, according to this, I can know his will. So if we really do want to know, we really do want to do what God wants us to do, we want to know God's plan, we want to know his purpose for our life, well, I can know that, and he wants me to know it, but there's a way that I can know it, and that's by Holy Spirit. So if we have an issue with having a relationship or grasping the understanding of who Holy Spirit is, then we're going to have a hard time understanding what God's plan and purpose for it is, because it's revealed to us by His Spirit. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing itself, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. When someone is teaching the Bible, according to what I just read, these are spiritual words, and they're taught with spiritual wisdom. But the only way you'll be able to understand what's being taught is if you have what? Holy Spirit. This is going to be a bit of an overstatement, but in order to drive a point home, I'll use it. If you come to church here on Sunday morning or anywhere else without Holy Spirit, you're wasting your time, because you're not going to understand what's going on. You're not going to understand what's being taught. Isn't that essentially what I just read? Exactly. Because it was Holy Spirit, as I think it was last week or the week before, it's Holy Spirit that communicated this to man. The prophets wrote, right? All prophecy of Scripture was given by Holy Spirit. They wrote as the Spirit carried them along. That's what we read. So this is spiritual. It was communicated to man and written by as they were led by Holy Spirit. Therefore, these are spiritual words, and they must be spiritually discerned. So that's why I don't feel like, as much as you might be getting, I don't feel like I'm overstating how important Holy Spirit is in our lives. I mean, we want understanding. That's why we have, that's why we come together. It's why we study the Bible. It's why we're here on Sunday mornings. It's why we spend time in reading our Bible, because we want to have understanding. And that's only possible through the Holy Spirit. That it says, not only understanding the Word of God, but what God has freely given us, according to what verse 12 says. So when you need to view what is being taught, as long as it lines up with Scripture, and you may not have picked up on this, so I'll just tell you. The reason I use, and I hear this from people that have never heard me teach before, they go, you use so much Scripture. Maybe you're not aware of it, folks, but I can just promise you, if you go to most churches on Sunday morning, you'll hear like a verse or a half a verse maybe read to open up the pastor's message. And there's a good possibility that'll be the last reference to Scripture you hear for the next 30 or 40 minutes. On the other hand, you can come here and I might have 6, 8, 10, 12 passages of Scripture referenced. Why? Because I don't want to be the one speaking to you. Randy doesn't have anything to say that you need to hear. The Bible, however, does. I mean, as I point out from time to time, folks, when I'm up here talking like this, I'm just basically saying what the Bible says. I'm saying it maybe in a different way, but I'm saying what the Bible says. And we're using Scripture as our reference point to build off of. It is Scripture that speaks to us. It's Scripture that we need to build on. That's where the wisdom of God comes from. And so I try to be intentional in using I don't ever want to get up here and speaking on my own. And even when I do, a lot of times I'll tell you, okay, this is now, we're in the realm of Randy's opinion or Randy's thought. This is not Scripture. This is what I think. This is my understanding or my interpretation. I try to be clear in distinguishing between between the two. Now, all that said, when you're listening to somebody teach the Bible, if they are teaching it in alignment with the Bible, you need to set aside whatever view you have of that person up there talking and hear what's being said. Separate the person from what's being said. Because if they're teaching according to Scripture in alignment with the Word of God, then what they're teaching are spiritual words. And you need to understand them as such, and you need to spiritually discern what they're saying. Sometimes I know that I can get in the, for some people, I can get in the way of what I'm teaching because there's some issue with me. What I would ask is, please set aside, if you have an issue with me, set that aside and understand, if I'm teaching what the Bible says, you need to hear it as such. And don't hear it as coming from Randy, hear it as coming from the Bible and the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? So when I'm up here, if I'm teaching accurately, what I'm speaking to you is spirit. If I'm teaching in alignment with Scripture, what I'm saying is spirit. It says that we may speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. And if that's taking place, then it's going to be necessary for you to have the Spirit in order to discern and understand what is being said. And I believe that's probably the number one reason why a lot of people have say, I have a hard time understanding. Well, because they aren't being sensitive to the Holy Spirit to give them understanding. I got news for you, especially when you're newer as a Christian. You're going to have a hard time maybe receiving what the Bible says, because it's spiritual, and it must be spiritually discerned. And when the Holy Spirit does try to reveal it to you, it's going to be contradictory to what your life is. And you don't want to hear it. All the really good stuff that God has revealed to me over my life as a Christian has started out this way. When He shows me some truth, or when He speaks something to me, it starts out as like, oh, God, that smarted, that hurt. Because He's showing me something contrary to what I am. God and I are different, amen? He's right and I'm wrong, but I like what I am. I want what I want, and I want it when I want it, and I want it how I want it. And when God says, yeah, but Randy, you're wrong. That's not what's good. That's not what's going to be successful. And He says, this is the way it needs to be. It's like, ooh, God's correction. I think John Cougar, what does he go? John Mellencamp, John Cougar Mellencamp, John Cougar. I don't know. He has this song, "It Hurts So Good." That's what I think of when God speaks something to me. There's this, ooh, that smarted. Because it's correction. But it hurts so good. It's like, oh, that smarted, man. But that hurt really good. Do it again. You ever have that sore on your, you know, in your mouth that really hurts and you can't stop sticking your tongue in it? Okay? It's like that. Just, it hurts. And you just keep doing it over and over. Because it's beneficial. Because I know that when He does that, it may sting, it may smart, it may hurt, but I know it's right, and I know it's beneficial. But when we start studying the Bible, I guarantee you, when you start studying the Bible, if you even, you know, take my challenge, 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, just a little bit, when you start doing that regularly, God's going to start revealing to you all kinds of things that are opposite of the way that you think and the way that you see the world and the way that you want to act and conduct your life. They're going to be the opposite. And He's going to start to bring correction. And you're not going to want to hear it. You're not going to want to hear it. The only way that you can hear it and receive it is if it's spiritually discerned. Amen? And this is critical for us to become the people that God wants us to be. I want to be clear here. I'm not condemning anyone in what I say this morning. That's not my intent. I'm trying to get all of us I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to simply impress upon you why Holy Spirit is so important for us to be the people that we really ultimately want to be in Christ. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can do that. It's not a condemnation. It might be some conviction, but it's not condemnation. If we cannot receive the counsel of the Holy Spirit that comes from Him, searching all things, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit and know that we're children of God. He wants us to know that. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to do that. Let's look at Romans 8:11-14. Romans 8:11-14. It says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." We cannot be God's children unless sin has been defeated in our lives. If we have sin, it says in our lives, it says we're going to die. Okay? You cannot have sin in our lives, purposeful sin, and be God's children. We cannot overcome sin unless we have the Spirit of God. That's what it says. But the Spirit... in verse 13, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." It is only through Holy Spirit that we can put the misdeeds that lead to death, that lead to our death, our separation from God, that we can overcome those things. Holy Spirit has to. This is why I mentioned several weeks back that when I was pastoring in a Pentecostal church, we were always asked if we believed that the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they believe, was speaking in tongues. And I have no problem with the gift of tongues. Judy was speaking in tongues in her sleep the other night. Is it either that or Russian? I'm not sure which it was. I was confused. But anyways, after she got done threatening us all, I will get you, all of you. That's what she said, and then she started. You think you're a rescue? It sounded. You thought you were rescuing some.
Yeah.
It sounded much more threatening to me. Anyways, it was intense. They would teach that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. Okay, I have no problem with it. But I believe what I like to talk about is the ultimate evidence. The ultimate evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power to live a godly life. That's the most important thing. And so we see the misdeeds of the body are put to death how? By Holy Spirit. It is Holy Spirit that puts sin to death. It is Holy Spirit that helps us get rid of the sin out of our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us and gives us the desire to live a godly life, to say no to sin and yes to Christ. It is the power of Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is critical. If we're going to overcome the sin that entangles us and snares us and causes us to falter and fail, then we must have Holy Spirit, because it is by the Spirit, according to verse 13, that we put to death the misdeeds of the body. The power of Holy Spirit to empower us to live a godly life is the ultimate evidence that Holy Spirit is really working in our lives. And then it goes on to say, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons, and I would throw in certainly daughters, are children of God. We need to be led by the Spirit, according to this passage, in order to be children of God. And you're all sitting here this morning because you desire to be, you believe you are, children of God. But if we're children of God, then we are what? Led by the Spirit. And that would go back to me to James 1, 5, 6, 7, and 8, that when we ask Him for wisdom, we should believe that we've received it. When we ask Him, when we're His children, we need to believe these things about ourselves, that we are His children and that He does answer us when we ask Him in prayer for different things. And certainly when we ask Him for wisdom, He'll be happy to counsel us. Think about this. If we are children of God, isn't one of my favorite things to do as a parent when I was able to give my children counsel, to impart some piece of understanding or knowledge or wisdom that they were going to really get a hold of and it will benefit them in their life in the years to come. I mean, is there anything better as a parent to be able to give a child that kind of counsel? To know you're going to give them something that they'll be able to use the rest of their life and it will help them to live successfully. So if Holy Spirit is our counselor and we are God's children and we're His children because of His Spirit, then it makes sense that our Heavenly Father wants to give us counsel. How does He give us counsel? He gives us counsel through the counselor, big C, the counselor, Holy Spirit. I hope that you'll hang on for another week or two because I'm not done yet, and maybe you're sick about hearing about Holy Spirit, but the more I talk about it, I think it's impossible for me to overstate the importance of Holy Spirit in our lives. The more I go on about this, I don't feel guilty at all about spending time on this because I don't think I can overstate it. When I understand that I'm God's child by the Spirit, right? Those who are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. And our Heavenly Father wants to counsel us. He wants to teach us. He wants to give us wisdom. So He does it how? By the counselor. Imagine that. Let me kind of jump ahead here and wrap things up. I'm real quick on this. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia and concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Very simply, what's my point in this passage? What do you think my point is? In one place, Holy Spirit said they were planning on going somewhere, and Holy Spirit said what? Don't go there. And then instead, go here. Holy Spirit will guide us. He will prevent us or restrain us from doing certain things or going places that God doesn't want us to go. And instead, He'll show us where He does want us to go if we will simply follow the leading of Holy Spirit, which is really important. Would you rather be in God's will or out of God's will? Very simply put, how many would rather be in God's will than out of God's will? Amen? I can't imagine there's anybody here that would say, no, I'd rather be out of God's will. If so, what are you doing here? All right? Well, Holy Spirit is the one that's going to do that. He's going to guide us and direct us. He actually restrained Paul from going somewhere that God didn't want him to go. He said, no, you don't need to be over there right now. You need to be over here. Go to Macedonia. And so God will do that if we're sensitive to it. The Holy Spirit will restrain us and He'll send us where He wants us to go. John 16, 13 and 14. John 16, 13 and 14, it says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you." And this is a great passage. I want to stress this as I close here. Holy Spirit is not some rogue person of the Trinity. He's not off on His own. I keep focusing on Holy Spirit. Do not misunderstand like He is somehow this rogue, separate person of the Trinity off doing His own thing. That is not at all true. What did I just read? It says that the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth. Okay, but He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me, this is Jesus speaking, by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. He's not doing this on His own. He's not some rogue, person, again, of the Godhead out there on His own. He is teaching us and reminding us, just like we opened with, what Jesus taught us and what Jesus said. He takes what is Jesus's and makes it known to us. All right? This isn't original with him. He's taking he's making Jesus and the Father known to us. He's taking what's theirs and making it known to us. He doesn't speak on his own, but yet his job is not to speak on his own. His job is to guide us into what is true. That's what it says. First verse 13. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. So he's not on his own. He's not a rogue. He's not an independent agent. He's a guide to guide us into what Jesus said and what the Father said and make it known to us. And let me close with this passage, Romans 15, verses 14 through 16. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I close with this passage because of this. I believe, I like how it says, starts off, I am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. I want to say that this morning. I believe that you're full of goodness and God has something for you to accomplish. You're competent. God says you're competent. And I'm up here speaking. I think I felt like I've spoke quite boldly to you. Paul says in verse 15, I have written quite boldly to you on some points. I feel like I'm up here speaking pretty boldly to you, but I do it because I feel like God's called me as a minister of the gospel, and you're competent to hear and receive what God wants to speak to you. You're good. I'm not up here to criticize. You are full of goodness, and it's the Holy Spirit that God has given us. He wants us to teach and to understand these things. He wants us. We are, as it says, the Gentiles. Acceptable to God, verse 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Well, I'm not aware of anybody out here this morning that's Jewish, right? We have no Hebrews by birth out here. We're all Gentiles, all right? But we as Gentiles, we are good and we are competent to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And God's called me as a minister to proclaim that to you. And I proclaim up here that you're good and that you're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is for us. But the way that we operate and we carry forth the gospel and we live the gospel out in our lives is by the power of Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. We need to have that relationship and give him his due. As I said last week, he's not some ethereal spirit out there, some vapor, all right? He's a person. He's the person of God who's active in our lives, and we need to understand that as such. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we can know all these things. In fact, it's what the Holy Spirit is one of his jobs, is to take what can be known about you and make it known to us, to communicate it to us. So Holy Spirit, we ask today, in days leading forward, give us understanding of all that God has done for us, all the good that he's prepared for us, all that he's taught us and how he wants to counsel us. I'm so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you, when I need counsel, I know exactly where to go to get the counsel I need. I thank you. I'm so grateful that you are my counselor. So counsel us in the ways of God. Counsel us in his wisdom. Speak to us, lead us, guide us, restrain us from things that we should not be doing and open up the gates in the directions that we need to go. Show us where we should go and what we should be doing. You've taken those things, those deep things of God that our senses and the natural realm cannot make us understand of God. But you've taken them and you've revealed them to us. And Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Let us confidently embrace that we can know the will and the mind of God and that we can understand it. And that because we have that, what a great privilege that is, that we can live productive lives for the kingdom, that we can make a difference in the people's lives that we come into contact with because we can know the will of God. We can give godly counsel. We can introduce people to the person of God via Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you. What a privilege that is to be involved in your kingdom's work. Lord, now I ask your blessing upon each home, each family here. Be with us during this week, Lord. Open our eyes. Let us see in the spiritual realm where we see opportunities to minister to the people that we come into contact with that need Jesus, that need some hope, Lord, and that you'll empower us by your Holy Spirit to do just that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't forget to sign up to bring some soup, sandwiches, and pie, right, on Super Bowl Sunday. That's 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks from today, right? I know that because we have the final playoff games today, and then a week off, and then the Super Bowl.